My name is Lauren, and my podcast today will be about how music has been used as a teaching tool to raise awareness about the AIDS epidemic. I chose this topic because I previously did a project on how different cultures use different techniques to mourn the loss of their loved ones who have passed away from AIDS. I also was inspired to choose music because I was listening to Waterfalls by TLC, and they have an amazing verse in that song to raise awareness about AIDS. So why is it so important that we educate about AIDS? The short answer is that people's lives are at risk. In 2019, the World Health Organization stated that 75 million people have been infected since the start of the virus. 32 million people have died from it. They also said that in 2018, 770,000 people passed away from it. With those stats in mind, you really have to remember that AIDS has not gone away. It is not just a previous disease that has affected millions of lives, but it is currently still affecting people. With recent medical advancements, it has enabled a halt in the extremities of the disease. About 50% of those positive for HIV are getting treatment as of 2017. This adds up to be about 19.5 million people. So, who is affected? The disease doesn't specifically target anyone. However, minorities are the most at risk. The CDC in 2011 stated that African American people are 8 times more likely to have a positive diagnosis than Caucasian people. With all this in mind, let's start. As I mentioned earlier, TLC's hit song, Waterfalls, is what inspired me to do my project. The 1995 hit single is an R&B classic, and it spent 7 weeks at number one. Currently, the music video has been viewed over 117 million times on YouTube. I must mention the cultural impact of this hit song. It is three African-American women raising awareness about a disease that has impacted their community the most. Okay, so let's take a listen. These lyrics are quite impactful, but when they're paired alongside the music video, you really get the full picture. It shows a woman and a man about to sleep together, and the man, he pulls out a condom, but the woman says no to using it. Afterwards, it shows them hooking up. It then pans to a screen where the man, he's appearing to have lost a lot of weight and having Kaposi sarcoma, which is those skin patches that are side effects of AIDS. Lastly, they show a picture frame on her bedside table. It pans across a bunch of photos of men who have either presumably contracted the disease from her or died from AIDS separately. It's not clear, but I assume out of this music video that she is a carrier and she doesn't know. In a 2013 interview with TLC, T-Boz, a member of the band, felt that it represented the epidemic. She states that they used to have so many patients of AIDS come up to them and say, "Thank you for being a voice to the community and getting the message out there to let people know how easily AIDS is contracted." The last thing I'll mention for TLC is I think the imagery of showing a straight couple being affected by AIDS is really important. There was a lot of stigma that this was a gay man's virus, and for them to widely show that it can be straight couples affected as well really curbed a lot of the stigma towards it. I thought it would be important to showcase a government who really cared to raise awareness for this epidemic. and that is the Ugandan government. They did a production of a charity album with 14 featured artists. It was called Singing for Life, Songs of Hope, Healing, and HIV/AIDS in Uganda. In the early 1990s, 14% of the living population in Uganda was HIV positive. By 2000, the rates had dropped to 8%. All proceeds of the album were for financial and emotional support to those living with AIDS. The last album that I'll mention is by the Red Hot Organization. They had donated $7 million to AIDS organizations from their first two albums. Those albums were called Red Hot and Blue, as well as Red Hot and Dance. In 1993, they wanted to do an artist collection which would showcase Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, and Sonic Youth. This album would be called No Alternative. They also had another production in the works with Public Enemy, Gangstar, and Arrested Development to make an album called Safe. John Carlin wanted these albums to be more commercial in order to raise awareness to wider audiences. They also had future plans to do a Red Hot and Country album with hip-hop and jazz artists as well. Now I'm just going to switch over a little bit from albums and songs that were created. Let's talk about group therapy. Tanya Cordove took 18 patients who were HIV positive and diagnosed with depression and broke them into smaller groups. The group tasked with music therapy was to write a song together and work through their emotions that come alongside their diagnosis. This group was able to talk openly about how AIDS has affected their daily lives. The group therapy allowed the members to gain multiple perspectives and feel like they weren't going through this alone. They used their song to express their anger, but later on they realized they can use their anger as a motivator. Now let's move on to BBC, also known as Behavioral Change Communications. This is a strategy used in sub-Saharan countries in Africa. The purpose of it is to curb stigma and ignorance towards the epidemic. It acknowledges that education levels are staggered across Africa. They use songs to educate rather than using text. Ethiopia specifically focuses on non-threatening education. It wants to destigmatize homosexual transmissions and transmissions between mother and child. Now I would like to mention two initiatives that I think are really cool. First, I would like to mention Lifebeat, which hosted counter-AIDS concerts in New York City, Nashville, and Los Angeles. Alongside these concerts, they had pop stars working as sale clerks in record stores in those cities. The proceeds were given to HIV and AIDS positive people within the music industry. Some of the participants included were Wilson Phillips, The Lemonheads, and Wet Sprocket. The other initiative I would like to talk about really briefly is Clean Needles. Clean Needles held concerts along the West Coast and promised to provide sterile needles to users that live in areas where usage is illegal. This is an AIDS prevention method that would hopefully curb the amount of HIV being spread in drug usage. And lastly, I thought I would mention the infamous Freddie Mercury tribute concert. Freddie Mercury passed away from AIDS in November of 1991. At the time, this was the largest concert to celebrate the life of a passed-on artist. It sold 72,000 tickets, as well as being broadcast in 76 countries and viewed by 1 billion people. All the proceeds were donated to AIDS initiatives. Artists that performed included George Michael, Elton John, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses, and Liza Minnelli. This concert clearly gave a voice to so many millions of people who were mourning the loss of an idol. Freddie Mercury notified the public that he had AIDS the day before he died. However, he was diagnosed in 1987 and had been keeping a secret for years. So let's circle back to our original question. How is music used to teach about AIDS? As we can see, so many people have created an array of ways to teach and educate about AIDS. This is really fantastic to see because since it was such a widely spread epidemic, there was so much room for stigma and misinformation to be spread. Music as a medium is so widely popular. It provides an interactive experience while also spreading information at the same time. I hope in the future that other artists will use their platforms like these ones did to educate and raise awareness about other epidemics. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope that this podcast allowed you to get an insight of what the climate looked like during the AIDS epidemic. It's quite sad to see how many people were affected, but I hope that in the future and with medical advancements, this disease can be eradicated. Thanks. Take care.